From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Today we bring you Thursday's press briefings at the United Nations. First, Stéphane Dujarric, the spokesperson for the Secretary General, and then Monica Grayson, the spokesperson for the President of the General Assembly.
How are you?
Hi there, Carlos. This is UNHCR.
All right. Oh, hello, yeah.
Good afternoon. Tom, are we okay? Okay. All right, thanks. Good afternoon. I will start off with a note on Syria. The United Nations is gravely concerned by the continuing reports of a deteriorating humanitarian situation, civilian casualties and damage to vital infrastructure, and waves of displacement due to intensified hostilities in the northwest part of the country. Over the past 48 hours, at least 7 people have been reportedly killed in south rural Idlib, while 2 others were reportedly killed in Hama governorate yesterday. Dozens of people were reportedly injured in Idlib, Hama, and Aleppo governorates. Over 300 civilians have apparently lost their lives due to hostilities in the northwest in the last 3 months, 60 of them in April alone. These increased hostilities are triggering large-scale displacement from northern Hama and southern Idlib. There are also reports of deserted villages after civilians fled for safety. An estimated 323,000 people are estimated to have been displaced in the northwest since September of last year. The United Nations reminds all parties to the conflict of their obligations under international humanitarian law and human rights law to ensure the protection of civilians and civilian infrastructure, and calls on all parties to the conflict to exercise restraint. The UN peacekeeping mission in Mali today released the preliminary findings of a special fact-finding mission to investigate serious human rights violations in the Ogusagu region in the Mopti area. On May 23rd, that occurred on March 23rd, 2019. During the attack that day, attackers killed at least 157 members of the Fulani community. According to the Human Rights and Protection Division of the UN Peacekeeping Mission, the impunity enjoyed by the self-defense groups for some time in central Mali has further fueled the cycle of violence and human rights abuses committed against civilian population there. The planned, organized, and coordinated attacks on the Pearl part of Ogusagu village was in the context of many other similar attacks by traditional hunter groups against Fulani communities. The Secretary General Special Representative for Mali, Mohamed Saleh Anadif, said he was deeply shocked by the cruelty of the horrendous acts committed against the civilian population, especially women and children. He said the perpetrators of such atrocities must be held accountable for their actions in court. And turning to Darfur, the African Union UN hybrid operation in Darfur, otherwise known as UNAMID, has concluded the closure of handover of its sector headquarters in El Dayin to the state government of East Darfur. In line with the mission's insistence that the facilities be used for civilian purposes, the state government of East Darfur has indicated that the former sector headquarters, together with associated assets, will become an extension of the El Dayin University. Also, a hospital within the camp will be a health center providing maternity services. This is the first sector headquarters to be closed and handed over in line with the second phase of the mission's ongoing drawdown as mandated by the Security Council in July of 2018. The mission issued a press release with more details. And on Cyclone Kenneth, the World Health Organization tells us today that nearly 190,000 people are in need of health assistance or at risk of diseases in Mozambique. Kenneth was the second Category 3 cyclone to hit the country within 5 weeks. Due to the lack of accessibility, the full extent of the damage to the health system is not known. At least 17 health facilities have been damaged, but this number is expected to rise. WHO is working with the Ministry of Health to carry out evaluations, and they're also working with UNICEF and have sent tents, water purification units, and other supplies. WHO team of specialists originally deployed to Beira following Cyclone Idai have now been redeployed to follow Cyclone Kenneth. WHO stresses the need for rapid action to manage the risk of cholera. And I have been asked about the ongoing situation in Benin. And I can tell you that we're closely following the unfolding developments in the Republic of Benin in the aftermath of the April 28th legislative elections, in which opposition parties were barred from participating. We note with concern the ongoing tensions and unrest resulting in the destruction of property and high-handed response from the security forces. We call on all Beninese stakeholders to exercise maximum restraint and to seek solutions to their differences through dialogue. The Secretary General's Special Representative for West Africa and the Sahel, Mohamed Mchambas, is in contact with colleagues in ECOWAS and as well as with Beninese stakeholders with a view to encouraging a consensual and peaceful solution to the situation and preserving peace and stability for the country. And this morning, the Security Council held consultations on Cyprus. Also want to flag that in a video message today, the opening of the 2019 Regional Seminar on Decolonization in Grenada, the Secretary General said the United Nations works on decolonization continues with 17 self-governing territories, 17 non-self-governing territories remaining on the rolls. Today, renewed commitments of all involved parties and pragmatic measures are required to accelerate the decolonization process. And yesterday, always a discreet entrance for Mr. Avni. Yesterday, I was asked about our response to the European Union's humanitarian assistance for Venezuela. And I can tell you the United Nations welcomes the announcement made by the European Union at the end of March on the, that the Commission was allocating a further 50 million euros in emergency assistance to help Venezuelans most in need. For additional details, I would refer you to the European Commission. After you're finished with me and I'm finished with you, Monica will be here to brief. Then at 1 p.m., briefing sponsored by the Permanent Mission of Georgia on, quote, a vision for modernizing the fight against hunger. Speakers will include Ambassador Kaha Imnatse, the Permanent Representative of Georgia to these United Nations, and Dr. David Kirvalidze, Georgia's candidate for Director General of the Food and Agricultural Organization. And tomorrow, my guests will be Gemma Connell, the head of OCHA's regional office for Southern and Eastern Africa. She will be briefing you from Mozambique by phone on the aftermath of the cyclones that have hit Mozambique. Evelyn.
Thank you, Steph. On Syria, part of the main reason, it seems to be, for the deteriorating situation in Idlib and Hama was there were airstrikes. Who did them? Syria, Russia,
well,
U.S.?
Well, as you know, we don't have any investigative capacities in that way. Right now, we're focusing on two things, the political process, which I think Mr. Peterson briefed you extensively on, and second, obviously, the humanitarian impact of the ongoing fighting.
That's true, excuse me. So, except that one has to know what the fighting was about or who did it. Yeah.
Well, that's fine, but that's not with it. We don't have the forensic capacity to do that at this point.
Thank you, yes, Steph. I had asked yesterday if you were able to get us the number of foreign fighters being held by SDF in Syria. Do you have anything on that today?
I do not. I do apologize. Yes, ma'am.
I asked you yesterday about the deportation of Human Rights Director Omar Sheikh by Israeli authorities. Do you have any comment?
No, not at this point. I'm still trying to get some information. Ali, and then Mr. Avni.
Thank you for remembering my name. Munsef Kartas, can you confirm that the Tunisian government has sent a letter to the Secretary General explaining the reasons why they arrested him and whether you still see misconduct or reasons for him to be arrested in Tunisia? Thank you.
No, our position on Mr. Cartas has not changed. We believe that he is he was conducting his official work and is therefore entitled to the privileges and immunities accorded to him. I will check on a possible letter. Benny.
On Venezuela, we had a briefing with Diego Aria, no stranger in these halls, who was asked about the response of the Secretary General to the events there. He said the Secretary General, quote, should be more forceful. The Secretary General initially, I don't know if that has changed, has supported a negotiated settlement between the government of Maduro and those who are against him. Does he still support that? Aria said that that idea that came from Mexico is dead. Does the Secretary General still support that?
Our position on supporting inclusive and serious dialogue to lead to a political solution to this current crisis has not changed, and that continues to be our message.
Even though, according to some, including Aria, we're talking about a regime that is narco regime, military regime that halts the power by force.
Our position for a peaceful outcome to this current crisis, which we feel should be reached through inclusive and serious dialogue. Stefano.
Yes. A quick one on Venezuela. What will be the position of Secretary General if the Maduro regime will try to arrest Guaido? And then another question on Press Freedom Day, that's going to be tomorrow. Mm-hmm. How does Secretary General consider the situation of Julian Assange? Does he think he's a journalist, a publisher, or not?
It is not for us to put a label on Mr. Assange. As for the Secretary General's message on Press Freedom Day, it's been released, and I would refer you to that. We're not going to get into what ifs, but in the past we have spoken out against any restrictions on peaceful political activities for any of the actors in Venezuela, and that will continue to be our position. Yes, ma'am.
Also on Monsef Cartas, do you have any update on his condition or any contacts between the UN and his?
From what I gather, we have been able to meet with him. I don't have any information as to particular condition, but we are able to contact him.
And there was an open letter released earlier this week by some UN mm-hmm. staff. Do you have any comment on that?
Our position, I think, joins up their position, is that Mr. Cartas should be released because we feel that he enjoys the immunities afforded to him by various treaties. Linda, sorry.
Thank you, Steph. Regarding Libya, I was just wondering what the latest developments were there and, what the latest is in terms of UN activities.
Sure. Mr. Salame is now returned to Tripoli. Yesterday, he met with the president of the Presidency Council, Mr. Sarraj. He discussed with him the security and the humanitarian situation in the capital. Mr. Salame also was able to brief Mr. Sarraj on his recent talks that he had in Europe with various international stakeholders, all with the goal of facilitating an immediate halt to the fighting in the country. He also stressed the UN's commitment to provide all necessary support to ensure the provision of humanitarian assistance, especially to those civilians in conflict-trapped area. The latest numbers we have on civilian is 102 civilian casualties, including 23 deaths. that have been verified in Tripoli. But obviously those numbers we consider a floor, a minimum, because it is imaginable and probably fairly true that a number of deaths have not been reported to health authorities. Though on the more positive end, no airstrikes, shelling, attacks, or clashes have been reported in residential areas over the last 24 hours. However, the humanitarian situation continues to deteriorate. Ipsilon, and then James.
Do you have any updates regarding Yemen and the political situation there, process, and also whether you are able to get to the UN aid in the storages of Hodeida port?
No, the Red Sea mills, if that's what you're referring to, we have still not had the access we need to the Red Sea mills. Obviously, the more time goes by, the higher the chances of the grain stored becoming unusable. Us having full humanitarian access to wherever we need to go is critical to starting to help deliver more aid to the people of Yemen. On your first part, Mr. Griffiths is in Amman, where he's based. He's continuing his contacts by phone, and we may have some travel to announce in the next few days.
A follow-up on the Red Sea mills. Who is, which party, or could you say more about how you are prevented from getting there?
The mills are in, far as I understand, in the Houthi-controlled areas.
So it's the Houthis?
Mr. Bays.
Afghanistan and the ongoing talks in Doha. I believe you were going to give an update on Mr. Yakamoto, the special representative, and a meeting we believe, had with Mullah Brother. Did the meeting take place? And also, can you give us a readout from the special representative on how he believes this process is going as we approach Ramadan?
Very unfortunately, we have not been given an update, though it's not from lack of asking. Yep. Mr. Abadi, excuse me.
Thank you, Stefan. As you know, on Monday, the Security Council adopted the Resolution 2468 on the Western Sahara. And barely 24 hours after, 48 hours after, the Polisario started undertaking military exercise in a very sensitive area, Tifariti. Does the Secretary General have any comment?
We have not received an update from our colleagues in Minurso, but we will ask for one. Monica.
Thank you very much, Steph, and good afternoon, everyone. You are seeing our screen on today. It's because we're going to have a guest, a colleague from TV Univision, or Univision for some, who will participate in this briefing today from Miami. So hopefully it will work. So let me start with a save the date for your diaries. Next week, on Monday, 6 May, member states will hold a meeting of the intergovernmental process on the commemoration of the 75th anniversary of the United Nations, which will be marked in 2020. In a letter which was circulated on 29 April, the President of the General Assembly, Ms. Maria Fernanda Espinosa, informed member states about the consultations. The process is being led by Ambassador of Singapore, His Excellency Burhan Gafur, and the Permanent Representative of Iceland, Her Excellency Ms. Birgadís Elédóttir, who are the co-facilitators appointed by the PGA. This will be the second intergovernmental meeting on the date and the modalities related to the 75th anniversary of the United Nations. And a zero draft resolution has been prepared and will be considered by member states. In a letter, both co-facilitators expressed their intention to finalize the document by end May. Ambassadors Gafur and Elédóttir have stressed their commitment to an open, transparent, and inclusive process. More information on our website, un.org/PGA/73. And on the PGA's agenda, she started her day with a book signing at the Mission of Japan on the celebration to the enthronement of His Majesty Emperor Naruhito. She later granted an interview to the website Scientific American. Mrs. Spinoza had a bilateral meeting with the UK ambassador, Her Excellency Karen Pearce. And as we speak, she is meeting His Excellency Ruben Escalante, the ambassador of El Salvador. This afternoon, Mrs. Spinoza will talk to students of the new school on multilateralism. This is all from us for today. We will now cross to Miami. Hopefully, we're going to get the video. But while we are doing this, I will ask you, Carlos Chirinos, welcome to the meeting room, direct from Miami. Good afternoon.
Hello, Monica. Hello to you all. Good afternoon to everybody.
Thank you
for the invitation.
No, thank you. Carlos, if you don't mind, I would like to give the question first to our colleagues here on Anka, and then I go back to you. Is that okay? Stay on the line,
sure.
Please. Okay.
Sure.
Do you have any questions? You don't? Yeah, Mr. Abadi, go ahead.
Thank you, Monica. Mm-hmm. Would the anniversary meeting be held at the summit level?
Correct. Yes, on a high-level meeting with heads of state and government. That is what the zero draft resolution is proposing. So member states, of course, need to endorse that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. What are the dates for the meeting?
This is going to be in September, around mid-September, but I can bring it to you. Actually, we have the proposed dates here, which is around mid-September, and I can give it to you later. Yeah? Stefano, go ahead.
Yes, just a few hours of Press Freedom Day.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to ask, I think I asked this before, but I ask it again. For President Espinoza, Julian Assange is a journalist, a publisher, or neither of the two?
Yeah, I think President Espinoza said before in this very briefing room that Mr. Assange, first of all, or above all, is a human being, and that he's... rights should be respected and protected. Yes. So if you don't have any other questions, I will cross to Miami and then I come back to you. Yes? Carlos Chirinos, the mic is yours. Welcome.
Hello. Yes. I would like to ask you something about Venezuela and the crisis that is going on there. I know the United Nations has called for the powers to restrain and establish a peaceful negotiations in order to solve the problem. But those calls, of course, as we have seen, are not taking any effect on the field, and the violence and the crisis is deepening on and on. So I wonder if, with the crisis becoming more a global one, in which important members of the Security Council are openly clashing, the United Nations has any meeting in the schedule in order to address the thing, and what needs to happen in Venezuela for the United States, for the United Nations to intervene and to stop the deterioration of the situation, and above all, the risk of this humanitarian crisis worsening.
Thank you, Carlos. And I have to say that Carlos Chirinos is the editor of politics for Univision. Well, your question has several elements. First of all, I would like to start by saying that I'm here as the spokesperson for the President of the General Assembly, and I will give you what the President is actually saying about the present crisis in Venezuela. You are right and spot on. The Security Council has been analyzing this issue with some meetings, but of course this would be a matter for the Security Council to reply. In regard with Mrs. Espinoza, she has been appealing and for actually since she took office for a constructive dialogue to happen in Venezuela for both sides or all sides across the board to walk in the direction of a constructive, an open dialogue of that will actually lead to trust-building measures, to a trust-building environment that will contribute to the end of this crisis. She has been emphasizing and stressing that millions of Venezuelans depend on this dialogue to happen in order for their well-being to be assured. This is a point that she has been appealing for. As you know, she was she comes from the region. She was the foreign minister of her country twice, and she knows the region very well and the situation that has been going on for a while. She herself has had talks with leaders from the region, but also, as you may know, with the CARICOM leaders who came to speak to her in the efforts to contribute to the dialogue in the country. And she has been appealing for that to happen for the sake of Venezuelans. Did you get the answer, Carlos?
Yeah, sure. But the other thing is, I understand that the Security Council and the General Assembly are different instances. But from the point of view of the President of the General Assembly, I mean, she is very concerned about the deterioration of the humanitarian crisis. Let's forget about the political one that is going on. But in what moment do you think United Nations should intervene in order to crisis worsening?
Well, first of all, the UN does not intervene. Basically, the UN and the President of the General Assembly is working very closely with the Secretary General, who already made his good offices available to both sides. But of course, I don't want to go here into the Secretary General's position. This is actually a job of my colleague who spoke before me, Stéphane Dujarric. But this is, at the end of the day, a decision that the sides in Venezuela need to make. And her appeal as the President of the General Assembly is that this decision is made soon, that both sides can engage in a constructive dialogue. Carlos, I thank you very much. I know.
Yeah, sorry. When I said.
Go ahead.
When I said intervene, I should have said taken steps. Sorry.
No, absolutely. No, that's okay. But I thank you very much for your time, and thank you very much, and kind regards to our colleagues in Univision, and thank you for participating today.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you, bye. Okay, anyone, any question? No? Okay, so I thank you very much for your patience, and we'll try to get colleagues who are not in New York, who are accredited to the UN, who's a media outlet is accredited to the UN to participate as they have questions. Welcome back, Abdul Hamid. I didn't see you. Welcome back. Good to have you again. Thank you, and I see you tomorrow. Thank you.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.